think it's always a good idea when you press record when you're starting a podcast.
I mean, it helps. We have recorded many a podcast, though, Claire, haven't we, where we haven't actually pressed record.
And we've come out. Don't want to tell people that. Anyway, welcome to Slim World Podcast.
Do you know what's really exciting about today's podcast? We've come full circle. We're back in one of the places where we used to record back in the day, aren't we?
It's a Tuesday morning here for us. And we're in a coffee shop and it's nice and quiet and there's few people in the background with laptops and their coffee cups are now empty and we're all doing that thing where we're trying to make the coffee last a little bit longer just to avoid buying another one.
And I've got really bad coffee breath. You know when you can taste your coffee breath?
Yeah.
She's just like not even looking at me. It's that bad.
Well, I've also got coffee breath. So with our coffee breath and our wise words, we hope to invigorate you by the end of this podcast. You may want to grab a pen and paper or you may just want to listen whilst you do the washing up, whilst you do the food prepping, whilst you go for a run or a walk or whatever you do. What I would suggest right now is I would like you to stop. I would like you to get your phone and take a picture of wherever you are listening to this podcast right now. And I want you to send us the photo. It could be the most boring view you've got, but I just love to know, what are you doing right now as you listen to this podcast?
Can we put a caveat into this, Claire? Because we have a lot of listeners from the bath.
Oh.
Okay, if you're taking a picture in the bath, please take it with the bath water, not yourself in the bath.
No nudity allowed. You can send it to us at Slimming World Podcast Instagram. You can tag us there or DM if it's a little bit more sensitive, but not naked. And you can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, which is exactly what Sandra did. And that's going to be the focus of our podcast today. Anyway, in true format, would you like to introduce the next section, Anna?
Cue the ukuleles.
Well, you may end up hearing in the background, there are people, so there could be noise that kind of happens, commotion around us. You may hear the...
Anna spilling a drink across Claire's lap.
Yep. Matt's already done that with a bottle of water today.
At least it wasn't like a blackcurrant cordial.
Oh, no. Can you imagine, you know, like the days where you knocked red wine over your lap?
Oh, don't. Or like on your carpet.
The thing is, if someone actually knocked things like red wine, you'd be like, oh my God, the wastage.
The sins
that are being wasted. Whereas when it's water, you're like, it's sin-free anyway,
right,
it's fine.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm Claire, she's Anna. This is Slimming World Podcast. We are officially sponsored by Slimming World, but these are mostly our own personal experiences that we share. And we were given a bit of a tip-off, weren't we, about what is in the magazine at the moment. We kind of get a little sneaky preview which is exciting. Yeah. And we noticed that there was an article which seemed to coincide with Sandra's email. And we thought, this is a subject. Weekends are something that a lot of people can kind of dread, I suppose, when they're on plan.
It's the thing I hear most in group, I think, about how the weekend scares them, about how they want to enjoy their weekend and still lose weight, about how their weekend can sabotage them, about how, you know, families put pressure on people, friends and all of that. I think the weekend, I don't know if you found it, is that it was the hardest 2 days of my week.
Yeah, because you could be focused, you could be saying no to every temptation, you get through the office, you get through the tiredness of the working week, and then you feel like you need to treat yourself at the weekend. And let's face it, there's loads of different events that are happening now, which we haven't been able to do for the last year. There's a lot of temptation around.
Yeah, I remember when the restaurants opened and I saw my group's weight loss just flip on its head, like, oh, okay, we've been eating out, haven't we? But I think it's knowing that weekends, if you plan them correctly, you can have a great time, can't you? You can't leave anything to chance with a weekend and wanting weight loss, is what I've learned. And I think the thing that I always say to my members is, you've got a choice. No one's forcing you to do this, and take the rebellion out, because you and I are quite rebellious, aren't we?
Yeah.
And actually, if you've had, like, the weekends we used to have, pre-buying a house, were quite hedonistic. Do you know what I mean? They were full of booze and food and then how awful I'd feel. And now they feel a little bit cleaner and a little bit more enjoyable. Like, I don't wake up and have to get a forklift truck to lift my head off the pillow. Do you know? So I think it's going into it with a good, clear strategy, really. So I handle a weekend.
That is the most sensible, that's what most of us wish we were like, I've got to be honest. Now, Anna is a consultant, so she's staying on message. Yeah, I'd love if we got a camera in your house to actually see what happens, but I actually don't think that you're lying. I think that is part of your life. Yeah. The rest of us are like, for me, the weekend is like a treat.
But the thing is, I'm not saying I don't go and have a takeaway and I don't eat chocolate and ice cream. But what I've learned is planning and allowing myself to do that rather than saying this is going to be virtuous and my whole family's going to do X, Y, and Z and I'm sat here with like cabbage. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that there isn't, you know, a very well-known delivery service that will often come to my home. But the last 21 years have taught me if you don't plan for those kind of more flexible moments, then you're just going to burst out the side and put £3 on.
Okay, let's read Sandra's email to kind of give us a bit of an idea. Here's what Sandra is saying. So her email says, "Hi to you both. I'm a diamond member of 1 year, having lost 5 stone. Whoopee! So diamond member means that she's maintained her target weight for over a year. Or maybe more. Who knows? Of 1 year. Of one year. I love your Livey podcast. Wondered if you could cover a subject I feel needs exploring. I'm saddened when in class, members say they are dreading certain family celebration events like birthdays, weddings, because of the Slimming World eating plan being hard to maintain. I feel it's such a shame that occasions that could be filled with joy and anticipation are being clouded by people's fears. Being a target member, I realise more than ever the plan is a way of life and special occasions can actually be managed and not necessarily sabotage the whole eating plan. For example, I never refuse a piece of birthday cake. I either bring it home to share out or I make sure I take off the sin-ridden icing and nibble slowly at the thin slice to avoid being offered another slice." The icing's my favourite bit.
It's the worst bit.
I know it's more sins, but it's my favourite bit.
It?
And we should be friends, Sandra.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you get my drift. There are tons of strategies for members to use for all these celebrations so they don't arrive hungry or the buffet table will be too appealing. So how about a podcast describing ways these events can be to celebrate and enjoy rather than thought of in negative ways. I love members in group to announce, yippee, great week ahead with a family birthday to enjoy too. Just an idea to consider. Best wishes, Target and Glittery Diamond member Sandra." Which I think this is, yeah, so then we saw the in the magazine this month. It just has so happened they've got an article which is called 17 Sizzling Social Strategies. And it says, yes, you can lose weight and still enjoy the parties, pub trips and family events you've missed out on for so long. Here's how. And we kind of had been thinking about what we would suggest. And actually, a lot of these are kind of in this 17 strategies. So we can kind of relate to a few of these. If you do have the magazine, it's page 32. Of the August September 2021 issue, but we'll refer to some. So in case you listen to this in the way in the future and you don't have the magazine because it's not in store anymore, we can kind of give you an inkling of what some of the things are. I mean, what's like the first thing? Let's say like Saturday night you're going out large with the girls.
Large.
That's what kids used to say, isn't it? You're going out large with the girls. It's a hen do. There's going to be food. You're all having a meal first. There's going to be bottles where there's like bottles of wine, bottles of Prosecco. You're probably going to end up doing cocktails and shots. And then you're staying over in a hotel and you've got breakfast free with the hotel. I mean, I've heard that kind of scenario quite a few times. How does Anna of the Mangan, Slimmer World consultant, prepare for that? Or did you just not go?
No. I think we've got to take it right back to that first, when you know that's happening that week, how the rest of the week has gone. So really, really planning that in effectively, really making sure you have a strategy of how you're going to handle it. So my advice as a slimmer would always be making the meals in the run-up pack a punch, like getting in lots of speed, lots of protein, really making sure that you're harnessing your weight loss before you get there. then I think visualization is a tool that is really underused. So really visualizing how you want the event to go, because you want to lose weight. If you want to lose weight, it's going to take some work. If you want to maintain, it's going to take some work. And equally, if you're going out there with a plan to go mental, you're going to have a plan to lose that weight if you gain it. So this is really thinking about, what do I want to see on the scales and what have I got to visualize doing? And it may be just a few tweaks. It may be about saying, actually, my mates are getting the Prosecco, but I actually know that Linda is trying to lose weight and so is Gemma. So let's get on the gins with them. Or let's go and see if we can look at the menu before we go out so I know what I can eat. Is it about, you know, little things I used to do was take food with me for the hotel room, because I don't know about you when you used to have a drink, but I was the girl that would stop for, you know, cheesy chips with garlic mayo. Two portions, please, maybe a pizza. But actually, if I could have the snacks there, ready, prepared, so I knew what they were, and I know in my pit stops for my hangover. I think it's just thinking about, how do you want the weekend to look so that you can still enjoy it but still lose the weight? Because I think where it goes a bit wonky, for me personally and the people I meet, is that, and we've talked about this before, enjoyment is synonymous with doing what I want. I want to drink and eat what I want and not care. Well, actually, do you really? Or actually, would a really brilliant night say, I had a great time with my girlfriends, but I also lost 2 pounds this week? You can have the two.
Yeah.
You don't have to gain 4 pounds. So it's thinking about, what little tweaks has it got to be? Is it about, you know, picking something off the menu that you know is going to be free food, so you've got some more sins to spend on your booze? Is it about knowing that actually your porn star martini maybe isn't your friend, but swapping to something like, you know, just straight Jaeger like I used to drink maybe is? You know, just thinking through that strategy, but knowing to have a good time doesn't mean you have to go and absolutely blow it out of the water.
Yeah, I'd agree. And like, so when I went out, I used to kind of hang out with like quite a lot of guys. I'd go to gigs, so it was more like a pints kind of night. So like, you know, and I can imagine like for guys, if they're going out, I don't know, to watch like football, or it's like a stag do or something. Like it can kind of be a bit strange, can't it, when everyone else is like, you're in a round.
Yeah.
You know, it takes quite a lot to kind of step out of the rounds.
I remember when Phil lost weight for our wedding, he literally went from drinking pints of lager to like shorts and a diet mixer. And he would just say to the lads, look, I'm getting my own. And they were like, actually, I'll have shorts with you, because actually the beer bloats me and makes me go to the loo, whatever it is. So actually, I think sometimes just saying it to your mates as well is like, look, I want to really enjoy this, but guys, I'm trying to lose weight. Please help me, because wouldn't you, if my girlfriend sent to me and were like, right, come on, don't get on the wine or whatever. I think sometimes we're too scared to say what we're trying to do, and we almost want to fit in, don't we? I don't want anyone to know, like, actually, it's cool. I would never, and maybe it's because of what we do, but I'd be like, yeah, come on, Linda, get on the gin, stay off the Prosecco type thing.
You can also disguise it, right? So, you know, obviously, I don't drink anymore. I still go out. I still do rounds, you know, occasionally. But, like, you could have an alcohol-free beer, but get them to put it in a pint glass, right? So you look like, from the outside, you're drinking a beer with them. For like, you know, women, if it's like gins and things, just get like some, I don't know, soda water, some slimline tonic with some ice and some lime, and just get it in a fancy glass. Get the same glass that they put the gin in. Just have the confidence to ask. So that if you feel like you want to fit in, because that's the hard part, isn't it? You know, you don't want to put anybody out. You want to be polite. You want to fit in. You don't want to feel like an outsider. But ultimately, you are choosing to do something different. But you're right. I think it's very interesting when you have these conversations with friends, whether it be going out for a meal or going out drinking. Actually, I'm not going to have that. It's amazing how many people say, oh, I'll join you.
Yeah.
And I am amazed, because I was like the... I was the leader of, let's get shots, let's have dessert.
If you go, let's have sparkling water.
It's amazing how many people say, I'll join you. I was like, are you kidding me?
Can you imagine if you are feeling that pressure and you're doing something about your weight loss, people who are not feeling great about themselves but maybe haven't taken the step to do anything, they might feel such relief when you go,
yes,
do you know what, I'm watching my weight right now. And looking at, actually, how many things do you just do because they're just there? Like, actually, you know, when I used to go drinking and I'd do the shot, I probably could have stopped at shot number two, but I'd drink another eight. Actually, just taking a little bit of time to say, maybe if I drink that, I won't feel so well tomorrow, and actually I don't need it now. So just taking a little bit of time and space. That's why prepping is so, so key.
One of the things that, like, really struck me was on this this strategy thing. Number 12 says connect and thrive, and it says sometimes it might feel easy to turn down invites altogether, but if that leaves you feeling lonely or left out, it could do more harm than good. I'd actually kind of also argue that sometimes it's a good thing to turn things down.
I think sometimes we're too polite, aren't we?
Yes, and you know, you don't have to just go to something because you need to. Because that, for me, was often where I would eat more. I would drink more because I was drinking or eating my way through it because I didn't want to be there in the first place.
I used to hear it a lot before we, you know, got struck by the pandemic about people at work having to go to work events and feeling bad and being like, I don't want to use my sins on booze with my work colleagues, but I've got to go and do it. So actually, you know, choosing where you want to go and what you want to do. And I think maybe the lockdowns have given us a little bit of space from having to say yes to everything, haven't they? But I always go from the place, go out with the mindset of I'm going to enjoy it. And actually, the company, 9 times out of 10, is what I want to enjoy, not the free-flowing booze. There's also number 11 on here that says go loud and proud, doesn't it?
Well, the key thing it talks about is that phrase, that's just one. Oh, go on, just have one. Yeah. It won't hurt you.
Yeah. No,
because a lot of people, it's what it's making them feel. You're making them feel uncomfortable by opting out. And so they want you to just have one. They're kind of like, you know, it makes them feel better. It doesn't make you feel better, but it makes them feel better.
I remember when I lost a lot of weight and when I got pregnant and someone said to me, I can't wait till you get fat. And I said, what do you mean? She said, it make me feel so much better about myself. And I think, you know, and I did laugh in the end because what I got was that same thing, actually. What I was reflecting to her was something that she wasn't able to do for herself. And actually, I brought some feelings out in her that she didn't like. And I think that's sometimes what happens when, you know, we had it when we stopped drinking, didn't we? That, you know, you make people reflect on themselves. So I think it's being strong and knowing, actually, I'm saying no. And that's quite empowering, isn't it?
The thing I would say as a caveat, yes, whilst I have removed alcohol from my sins, that doesn't mean that I am then therefore an angel. Like, the sucker thing that I will love to do is go out for meals with friends and for family. Yeah. It is the thing that I love. And I suppose I've kind of started, as I've been through my weight loss journey, and in the last year, you kind of almost think, well, what brings me joy? What things do I really love? And eating out in a nice restaurant, having something that I could never possibly cook at home, it brings me joy. Yeah. So then on number 5 on this says write a wish list, you know, about all the social moments that you really want to enjoy on plan this summer. Now, I really love eating out. So then if I plan ahead, like I want to eat out, how often would I do that? Maybe once a week rather than 4 times a week. That might be a bit more realistic. What kinds of places would I go to? What kind of things would I want? Yes, I do want to have dessert. If there is vegan sticky toffee pudding on a dessert with ice cream, I will, you know.
Is mowing the door down.
I know, I'm getting in. I'm getting in there. But I think this idea about writing a wish list of the social moments that you really want to go to, you know, like how often is it like, for instance, like with the drinking and also, I suppose, overeating, in the week I'd kind of just have, I don't know, a couple of glasses of Prosecco every other night, maybe every night, because the bottle was open in the fridge. Maybe there was a packet of biscuits open and an ice cream tub in the freezer, so I'd just have a spoonful. But over the week, that added up. Whereas if I refrained from in the week and saved it to enjoy at the weekend, when I went out to the restaurant, when I went out with my friends, I've got more sins to play with, and it's less guilt-ridden, I suppose. It's the little secret, like, slip-ups along the way, which can cost you then when you have a big blowout.
Yeah. Like we were in a coffee shop and I had some toast and came with it 3 pats of butter, didn't it? And I just said, I'm leaving that because that's 9 sins. Now, that's because I know it. But if I'd taken those 9 sins, do you know what I mean? Imagine you did that and it adds up. So it's making those good choices in the week, I think, that's vital. Another thing about writing it down, think about how you want to feel, what you're wearing on these nights out, because actually that can be a really good motivator. Actually, if you
wear the tightest jeans possible so you can't physically fit any more food in, is that what you're saying?
No, but so I went out with a group of Slim and Well consultants and one of them has lost nearly 3 stone and she had leather trousers on. Right, a big shout out to her, she knows who she is, and she felt incredible in these leather trousers that she got on without any talcum powder. But she had a great night buzzing off the trousers, not necessarily off the food and the booze. So actually, remembering feeling that, you know, yes, this food might last a couple of hours, but that feeling you get when you're like, yeah, my jeans do up and I haven't got 47 muffin tops, all write down those feelings, because they will shout at you when you're tempted to get, you know, the third bottle of Prosecco.
Yeah.
It's reinforcing your mind.
Because it's kind of like talking about, you know, looking at the bigger picture, building your confidence. I kind of like this. It's like you kind of, for the first time in your life, you're taking control of the reins, right? Because how often do so many of us drift between social event to social event, and then you walk away and maybe the next day you feel tired, you feel lethargic, you feel heavy, you know that your jeans feel tighter and, you know, probably hungover. So instead, if you take control of the reins, then, you know, so much more freeing.
Yeah, I mean, while we both don't drink, we both used to love to drink, didn't we?
We still get sleep deprivation. Yeah. Can I just say that? Like, I mean, you realise, like, if I don't go to bed till 4 or 5 in the morning, I feel terrible the next day.
Yeah, whereas you're going to bed at 4 o'clock, I'm getting up with a small person. But what I'm trying to say is we're not sitting here saying don't drink. We're saying we chose not to drink for a number of different reasons. But actually what it did for us was free up the sins for other things like dessert. Didn't it?
Oh, and you still bloom and use them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, dessert. Kind of needs like a it's not on here actually, dessert,
isn't it?
I feel like it should be their 18th sizzling social strategies. What to do with dessert?
There's some great tips though about like the drinking, the barbecuing, all of those things. You know, I was doing a lot in group with my members about just the little things that you could save your sins on. Like, you know, we were talking about how we could go out to family social events or friends ones and actually make it safe for ourselves. So one of my members was saying she is just rings up anyone she's going to and saying, I'm going to bring you some food. Is that okay? She doesn't say I'm doing something more. She just says, can I prep your salad? You're dead busy. Can I make your pasta salad? Can I bring this? She says, because then I know I've got safe zones. She says, you know, and I have been known to put a wholemeal pitta in a handbag. But it's about going, actually, I know what's going to happen here and I know what I'm likely to do. You know, like I love a barbecued sausage. I'm not going to lie. An old white bap. But actually, that's not going to get me the weight loss I want. So can I go for those safe zones, prepping before you go? And getting into that habit of actually, this is something I'm going to do for the rest of my life. There's always going to be weddings, barbecues, birthdays, hen do's. So actually, if I went and I blew out of the water every single time, I'm never going to keep my weight loss going, am I? Or my weight maintenance. So yeah, prepping, planning ahead, thinking about what you can do that's free.
See, something that has massively changed in my life is where and what I do when I meet people.
Ooh.
So before, I used to kind of go and meet friends for a coffee, for a meal, a sit down and a catch up.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, well, maybe it's also lockdown induced.
Do you want to go for a walk?
I would go for a walk. Mm. Yeah. I'll meet one of my friends if they go to the gym and we'll do a workout next to each other.
Oh,
just
my
sit
God.
And chill on the bike.
Don't ever ask me to do that ever.
But you know, movement. I'm like, so I'm going to see my family in a couple of weekends, and my auntie has put all kinds of activity. We're doing a park run on one morning. There's potential for a swim in the sea, which I'm not sure I'm going to partake because it's Northumberland and it'd be blooming cold. But then we're going to like an activity centre where we're doing archery. There's a high ropes course. So rather than us just all sitting in a restaurant, we're actually going to go outside. We're going to do something. And so number 10 on this list is adding an activity. So try, and rather than drift or go into your default of, oh, we all get together and we sit down and have a meal, what else could you do? Could you actually take a picnic and all go for a walk around your park? And that way you're getting body magic and you're taking that because you're controlling the food that you have.
Exactly.
I always remember this for like dating as well. So if people are doing online dating, you know, I've been there and done it. Because often when you go on a date, you go for a drink. Right? Or you go, then maybe the second date, never the first date. Don't go for a meal on the first date. Because if you don't like them, you're locked into potentially two-course hell.
Three-course hell.
And then you might have to pay for it as well. So you don't want that.
No.
But maybe the second or third course, you go for a meal. It's very typical, right?
Yeah.
So instead, what I used to do was, I didn't really want to bring up the whole I'm not drinking on the first date. It's like, it's just too heavy. So I arranged dates where I did something. You know, these days in Manchester, you can go axe throwing.
I mean, I'd be a little bit worried if I went on the first date and the bloke went, do you want to go axe throwing? Wouldn't you? You'd be a bit like,
my favourite thing to do, on a date, which I did multiple times, which I've actually never done with Matt. Yes, I'm not currently dating, just caveat for that. My favourite thing to do was crazy golf.
Oh, love a bit of fun.
Yeah, lots of fun. No, and I think, especially when you're trying to lose weight, it's getting out of that having to have a hard conversation, isn't it? So crazy golf's a great one because you haven't got to choose any food or say no to any booze.
Do you know, it also takes the pressure off just sitting down, looking at someone and having to make conversation with someone that you don't know, because you've got something else to focus on. And often in those circumstances, that's where I would possibly drink more. Because I drink my way through it because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Or I'd overeat because I'm nervous.
Yeah.
So doing something just made it a bit easier.
I love this. Not only are you coming here for weight loss tips, but dating too. Look, if you look, go back to the beginning of our podcast, Claire hadn't even met her husband. Now she's married. That's how good she is. Just another tip that has helped me immensely with weekends. I used to do my food shop on a Saturday, and actually it was another stress in the weekend. So I make sure that my food shop gets delivered on a Friday afternoon. So I've got the whole weekend planned. Like, we love a roast dinner on a Sunday. Know that we've got something maybe easy to do on a Saturday night, because I think if you add food shopping and stress into your weekend, this is just me, I'd be tempted to buy lots of other rubbish. I'd also be led astray by my husband saying, let's get tacos. Planning your food shop, planning that free food, like, I always think a weekend is for like pancakes, a weekend's for like a cooked breakfast, or, you know, big brunches. So plan that in all freely. How beautiful could that be? Have your mates round for a brunch.
Yeah, see, one of the best things I learned from you in group actually was thinking about the week over the course of like 21 meals.
Yes.
And so, yes, you're going out for a meal with Sally on Wednesday, and then you're going to meet the family on Sunday, but that's still only 2 out of 21 meals.
Yeah.
And so your idea that you started with about prepping the other 90 meals to be on point, I think it, because how often in group do we hear people exactly what Sandra says, oh, I've got my birthday this weekend, so I'll probably just be happy to maintain, I'll probably gain.
Yeah.
And you're like, Han, that's one meal out of 21.
Yeah. So I just did it in group a few weeks ago, actually. We just did a grid, 21 meals, then snacks and booze, and like wrote down the ones that we could do 100%, and then kind of like color coded the rest. So green is good to go 100%, then like amber, slightly difficult, then red is where I need a bit more flexibility. And actually it gives you a much greater sense of control, because 9 times out of 10 you can nail breakfast, you can normally nail lunch as well. And it's knowing actually I've got a plan, how can these meals really, really pack a punch. It makes you chill out a little bit. So how many of us have done it? We've gone, oh, blown it, go on, get me a pizza now, and then I'll start again when I get to group and I've got the scales, and you've had a gain that you don't need to have. So yeah, I'm all about that 21 meals planning. But also planning in things like the snacks. I like a snack, you like a snack. Mm. If you've not got a good snack planned in, you can use all the cauliflower rice you want, but your snack's going to undo it.
Can I say that you get more room in your handbags these days? I mean, men, you can also have man bags.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid, right? Have a man bag. Own your man bag, right? Because back in the day, people would have to try and fit, I don't know, a massive mobile phone that was the size of a brick. Then those are the days where nowhere took card payments.
No.
So you'd have a cash in your wallet.
Yeah.
Most people smoked. So there'd be 20 cigarettes.
And
that took up a lot of room in your handbag, probably.
Yeah.
And then all your makeup and things. So you haven't got room for snacks, whereas these days your phone is as light as a piece of paper.
Yeah.
You don't need a wallet because you can pay everything on card, and that way you can do your...
You can just use your watch,
can you? Well, you can also see what you actually spent the night before.
Because
when there's cash, you don't know how many drinks you've had, whereas you can count on your statement the next day
the
damage was.
Yeah.
And then most people don't smoke, so then you've got loads of room for snacks.
Get the snacks in. Get the
Every time
in.
You go to the toilet, have a little homemade falafel.
So Claire's tip of the podcast is get through a weekend by taking falafel to the toilet. I think we've hit a crescendo here.
It's one of the things that I did this weekend, okay?
Did you have falafel in the toilet?
I didn't have falafel in the toilet, no. Make sure you wash your hands, folks.
Jesus, we've been here all time.
I supported Matt, who did a triathlon this weekend, which is insane, right? I mean, it was like he was doing it for 13 hours 48 minutes.
But just checking this, he didn't do it for charity, he did it for pleasure.
I know.
Pleasure.
But I knew that in order to support him, I was going to be sleep deprived.
Yeah.
I was
hungry.
I was going to have to spend a lot of time just in the car.
Yeah.
So I prepped like a queen,
Did
right?
You?
I took jacket potato that I ate like an apple.
I've done that. I actually like a potato like that. Yes.
It was fine. It was fine. Yeah. I made sandwiches with sin-free ham and I had my healthy extra cheese. I weighed it.
Vegan
no
ham
butter.
And cheese, just to, she's not started
vegan ham and cheese. Yeah. I did end up going mad over my sins, but it was nowhere near what I could
but
have been.
You had a controlled situation.
But I went to that situation thinking, I know this is going to be really tough, but I'm going to go prepared because when I get there, there's probably going to be hardly any vegan options, which in a way kind of helps when you're managing your sins. But I knew that I would just want chips. I would want burger. I would want salty, sexy jam donuts. I would want ice cream. You know, they probably wouldn't have any Diet Cokes.
There'd
be full fat Coke.
Did you drink a full fat Coke?
No, I didn't.
Oh, I was going to say
I didn't because I had loads of water with me. And I took a couple of cans of Diet Coke with me. So, but you know what I mean? Yeah. I approached that...
With a plan.
With a plan. Mm. And you know, I probably have come away weighing a bit more. But that's also because fluid retention, tired, it's been hot. But it's not as bad as it could have been.
Well, you negated, you know, going absolutely blinking mental and having 4 years' worth of sins in a day, didn't you? By a bit of planning.
Well, you're meant to enjoy it.
Exactly. And it's not... This isn't... Right, remember, you have chosen to do this and no one is forcing you to. That always makes me feel better. And also, it's not meant to be like punishment. You can eat. Yeah. You just can't necessarily eat everything you want deep fried. That's what I've learned. Do you know what I mean? But another thing that really I would say that helped me is if you know a weekend is when you're likely to have a wobble, reach out. Like, so for example, my groups have got like WhatsApp groups, we've got Facebook groups, we've got all sorts of like buddies in group. Find someone that you can say, actually, I'm having a wobble, it's Friday afternoon, Saturday afternoon, I just want to hit Prosecco. So that you've got like a buffer and you can say, hold on, someone to talk you down almost.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Because sometimes I need that. I need for to be like, step away from the jelly beans, Anna. Do you know what I mean? I can see you're in the fridge. Because otherwise, I think... That's when you can go, well, I've lost the plot. The ship is sinking. But actually, if you've got someone to give you... We always talk about surfing the urge, don't we? Yeah. If you've got someone to help you kind of break that knee-jerk reaction, it can really help you to stay in control.
Also, people know, like, local restaurants. Like, I'm looking at going for a curry with my friend for her birthday. Which curry houses would you recommend? What did you have?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. Because also, on the website... You can type in the name of popular brands and it comes up with suggestions of perhaps what might be on plan on their menu or lower sins.
Yeah, so there's like all kind of features about, you know, how to eat Italian, Mexican, whatever, in the back of your Food Optimized book, but also High Street Change are listed in there. And knowing that you can still, like, I've got a very favourite kind of Asian-style restaurant I like to go to. I know I can do that in 10 and a half sins. I equally know I could do that in about 75 sins if I had what Phil has. So again, it's not saying you can't. It's just saying you have to tweak or maybe want to tweak. You don't have to do anything. I'm trying to take out for myself at the moment the rebellion and saying, Anna, you're a 40-year-old woman. You are choosing to do this. Therefore, you can't have everything you want.
Yeah.
You can't be the size you want and eat cake for breakfast, lunch and dinner.
I think what I find refreshing as a member to a consultant is that you've been doing this a long time and you still have those feelings. Because I think a lot of us as members kind of think, I'll be able to fix it or cure it. But actually, you're living with these feelings. You're accepting that it's there.
Yeah.
And you're constantly tweaking and looking for new ways to kind of work with it rather than deny, 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 deny. Oh, my God.
I think if I didn't have that acceptance of it, I'd be 10 stone heavier and I'd just be on this circle. I have... No matter where I've been in the last 9 years, I've stayed within the same 5 pounds. Like, yeah, I'm not necessarily where I want to be, but that's where I've kind of been because I've given myself the freedom to go, this is you, Anna. This is how hard it gets. And some weeks are dead easy, aren't they? Some you can like absolutely nail it. And other times you just want to eat macaroni cheese. Do you know what I mean? So I think it's knowing the feeling that you have at this moment isn't a consistent or constant one. There's ebbs and flows of it. But yeah, I just learned nailing my weekends gave me weight loss. And the moment I nailed my weekends, I had the freedom to enjoy. But if I carried on battling in it, I was only going to food optimise for 4 days a week. And you can't lose 5 stone on 4 days a week.
No, not when you start getting closer to your target. You don't get away with that stuff, no way.
No, I could do maybe 2 stone. I could do, and this is not what I'm advocating, but I could do 2 stone being slippery. But when I had that end bit to go, I had to work my socks off and I had to really look at, if I want to lose weight and keep it off, I've got to change me as a person. And that means I've got to change my habits. And eating, you know, 2 family-sized pizzas and a full bottle of Coke is not a good thing for my heart, mind or body, is it? So, you know, it's almost looking at, is what happens when you eat out and drink out, maybe the way you're dealing with your emotion, and you need to kind of look at your emotions, which is what we've both had to do, haven't we? Yeah. You know, therapy was probably the greatest thing I ever did for my weight loss, because you realise you're in a destructive pattern with, I'm going to eat and drink into oblivion to kind of numb what's going on in my life.
Yeah, this whole, like, kind of respect yourself, be really kind to yourself, like, love yourself. You know, the way that we treat ourselves sometimes by, and it is like a form of self-abuse, I think, where you're stuffing. You would feel horrified if you saw a loved one or a real close friend behaving in that way. You kind of want to stop them and say, you don't need to do this. Yeah. So why do we think it's acceptable? I think, so that the other thing I would say is, if you have had a weekend where it's gone a bit wrong and you have had a gain, the biggest, bestest thing that you can do for yourself is learn from this and get back onto plan, because this is going to happen. Like, there's no way that you can avoid this situation. Yeah. And in order to be a target member, you know, I talked previously about having like 3 blips since I've been on target, so I've gone out my target range 3 times, but no matter what, I've got back on it and I haven't needed to pay because I've got straight back on it.
Do you know, it's so funny, I love it, we talk about it, it's okay, I haven't had to pay, and it's not the money, but it's the psychological thing, is I'm still a target member. Yes. Isn't it? But it is that knowing,
it's learning.
Yeah,
it's learning that actually you have ebbs and flows, you give and take. There's no point having this perfect, strict, oh my god, I've failed, I can't do this, I'm never going to be able to do this. Actually, this has been a blip. What can you learn from it? What would you do differently in hindsight? Write that down in your journal. Look at the choice points of each choice point that you could have made along the way. And then when you go out and do another social event, go back to your journal for this day and look and talk about, how do you feel right now? What thoughts are going through your head? Capture it all. Because then when you go out for your next meal or event, you can read this journal post and think, do I want to feel like that again? No. So what are my choice points that are coming up?
And also knowing that, you know, like we did when we did that 10 steps, it's planning for the fact that you can't be perfect. The people I meet that fall the hardest are the biggest perfectionists. So actually saying, I know that, you know, this is going to be somewhere I'm going to need some flexibility, and that's okay. No one's saying you have to be 100% on 100% of the time.
Yeah.
Because that's not reality. It's not my reality. Is it your reality? No, really isn't. In anything in my life, in my work, in my marriage, in my being a mum, you can't be 100%. We can't, and I can't be as a trying to lose weight or eating, because, you know, I do like toast and I do like pizza, and that's okay, but I don't have to eat 4 pizzas now. Yeah. I can just have a slice, which is a big achievement to me. So it, no matter what it is, it's knowing actually this food sets off a chain of events in my mind and in my life, and actually maybe the weekend and how I eat is one of those that I need to deal with.
Yeah, I think it's amazing with things like these social events or certain foods. That for me, there's a lot of triggers and danger zones. Mm. Like, they are emotional triggers to me that remind me of situations or past experiences, you know, like where, I don't know, but when I was younger, I was bullied for being a bit of a loner, a bit of an outsider. So then it's a trigger for me when I go out with friends and I'm doing something different to them, because there's a small girl in me that's kind of like, oh, they're gonna cast me outside, they'll never invite me again, which is absolute ludicrousy in the moment, but it's a past experience that's holding a limited belief to where I am now. And that's where I think looking at the psychology, the thoughts, capturing the thoughts that you're having around these events is something that helps you kind of work through them. Totally. And you learn and you grow, rather than exactly what Sandra said in her email of kind of fearing these occasions and avoiding them.
And that's the last thing, as a Slimming World consultant, I would ever want a member to feel. I would be like, go and enjoy this, but let's help you enjoy it in a different way. And it's just about learning a different strategy. That's all it is. And it takes time to train yourself. Like, how people say, like, I've got an issue with eating out, whatever. Like, to me, I've spent 21 years training myself. When I eat out, unless it's some, like, a crazy, amazing restaurant where I really want to go and eat something, I wouldn't choose to go and have something that wasn't on plan, just because that's how I've trained myself. I'd prefer to have the dessert when I got home, or something, or my chocolate through the week, but that's just because I've learned that for myself. So it's knowing that actually it's practice that pays off. And this, what works for me might not work for you. So, like, you love going out and eating a dessert, whereas I'd prefer to have my chocolate every night of the week, whatever it is. So I think it's finding what feels right for you, but knowing that weekends, if you nail them, can be the biggest freedom for your weight loss.
Yeah, to go out, say that you've been to some social events, you've had a birthday, and you've food optimised, and then you step on the scales and lose weight. There is nothing that beats that feeling, because for the first time, you don't feel guilty. No. You don't feel, you feel in control. You feel like this is a lifestyle that I can maintain, as opposed to the guilt, this is a diet, it's so hard, I can't do this. Like the freedom that when you really crack it. But I've got to say, as someone who's been doing it for 8 years, it takes practice. And those weekends, they're not every weekend, but you get more of them the more that you stick with it.
And again, I'll always take it back to that learning to drive analogy. Like, you know, and we say it often, don't we? Like, you felt every gear change. You felt every stop at the traffic lights. And now, how many times have you changed gear today and not even thought about it? And it's knowing that that will eventually happen for you if you keep going. It's when we give up because we fail. I've just punched my hand really hard, that it gets even harder. So just keep in practicing. And thinking about it in another way, maybe. If each weekend over the next month, next 3 months, 4 months, you could get 1% better each day, it's going to add up, innit? Whereas we all think we've got to be 100% perfect by tomorrow. Actually, wake up every day and be 1% better than yesterday. It's going to get you close to target.
Yeah, I do think that's interesting, where you pick like, right, one habit change that I'd like to work on for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Right, now that feels okay. Like for me, breakfast were a big thing.
Yeah.
Making my breakfast sin-free. If I started and had one meal that was sin-free, then I knew that maybe the next meal I could have that sin-free. And it's just kind of allowing more flexibility throughout the day. So it's looking for those habits, I suppose, that you form along the way.
And I always think with habits, choose the easy ones to do first, because it builds confidence. So actually, if it is breakfast and that's easy for you, fab. If it's, you know, find something that builds your confidence. Like for me, the easiest thing to do was withdraw the snacks, and then I felt I could do the meals. Swapping the Prosecco to the gin was an easy one. And then you feel like, oh yeah, I'm succeeding. Whereas if you fail the first outset, you're going to feel absolutely shocking, aren't you?
Yeah.
I hope that helps.
Yeah, I hope, you know, we're giving you an idea of how to kind of approach your weekly plans and your social events a little bit easier and give you more freedom at the weekends. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You know, have you found strategies or ideas or things that have really helped for you that we can perhaps share as like light bulb moments on our listeners' questions episodes? You can email us slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com, or you can Insta us @slimmingworldpodcast. Don't forget to send that photo that you took at the start. I can't wait to see those. It's going to be excellent. I always love to know like the strange things. We've had people who are crocheting. We've had people who are going for their morning run. I mean, yeah, there's so many different things that you guys do when you're listening, and I find it fascinating. That's the beauty of podcasts, that we are like a little radio show that you can take with you wherever you need, on your phone, in your headphones, in your car, whilst you're at home. Like, it's brilliant.
I was listening back to an episode, and Daisy was like, "Mummy, I'm a bit scared. You're coming out of the walls and out of your mouth." I was like, "It's okay," but trying to explain to my child that I was on the radio, she just didn't understand. But yeah, I like listening to podcasts in the dark. Is that really weird? So I can, lying in bed in the dark, so I can really concentrate. Just, she's looking at me like, you know, as I'm going off to sleep. I just like that feeling of like just listening to all the, shall I stop? Bye.
No, I get it. And I like podcasts for different things. My favourite thing at the moment, my favourite podcasts are like fiction podcasts, where they go on a story. So they're like, you know, 10, 12 episodes, and they're like, you know, they're acting, and there's sounds going all around your headphones.
Like the
it just allows like real escape, you know, from the news and the doom and everything. I don't want to think about flipping the C word anymore, right? I don't want to think about it. Not cake and not Christmas. But so I'm really enjoying just filling something between my ears that is away from the news and the doom. Put something positive between my ears.
Yeah, but I find as I go off to sleep, I have a better night's sleep when I'm listening in the dark to a podcast. I'll leave you that image.
Well, imagine her photo if she sent us in. Right, have a great week. Go enjoy your weekends, enjoy your social events, get prepping, get planning, and we'll be back next Monday. Bye!